Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I've noticed that Alvin and the Chipmunks are getting a lot of play on this show over the course of the last couple of weeks. I tell you what, we're smashing through all kinds of glass ceilings every week on this show. You know, I'm sure the SPLC listens and they hear us, who they have falsely casted as these, you know, evil, you know, leaders of you know, some sort of a racist. Resistance, and yet we play music like that. It doesn't really fit the script. Of course, their script is, frankly, nothing but lies. Welcome back to the show, The Political Cesspool. James Edwards, Keith Alexander with you. Two more weeks before Christmas, Saturday, December 8th. Here we are. We're live, we're red hot, we're rolling, unrehearsed, uncensored here in Memphis and going out to the AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network across the country and around the world. People tuning in tonight. That never ceases to amaze me. We get those emails from all ports of call, from hither, thither, and yon, people saying, you know, I'm listening to you in this country or that country. I download you on my iPod. I go to the gym, and I'm listening to you in these incredible countries. They're all out there. The cesspool is a global phenomenon, and you have made it possible. Before the break, at the end of the first hour, we're talking to you about this abomination that has taken place at West Point. We've kind of set the table, so now we're just going to give you the story. But one thing to keep in mind is that the American Psychiatric Association, we've made mention of this before, all the way up until the 1973, I believe it was, they had homosexuality listed as an official mental disorder. That was its classification. And it still is a mental illness, don't get me wrong, just not an officially classified one. But here's the scoop.
Now
conservatism is a mental illness, apparently, according to them. The U.S. Military Academy's Cadet Chapel at West Point hosted its first same-sex marriage last Saturday, a week ago today. Penelope Jensen and Brenda Sue Fulton, a West Point graduate, exchanged vows in the Regal Church in a ceremony conducted by Senior Army Chapel. Keith, as I read this story, taking notes on sentences and such as that, so you can tear it apart when it goes over to you for commentary. The ceremony comes a little more than a year after Obama ended the military policy banning openly gay people from serving. The two have been together for 17 years. They live in New Jersey and would have preferred to have the wedding there, but the state doesn't allow gay marriage. We just couldn't wait any longer, Fulton said. Guests at the wedding posted photos on Twitter while it was underway and afterward. Fulton said the Cadet Chapel on West Point was a fitting venue. It has a tremendous history and it's beautiful. That's where I first heard the cadet prayer. Fulton said that when she requested the West Point Chapel, she was told that none of the chaplains who preside there come from a denomination that allowed them to conduct a gay marriage. Imagine that. I mean, there shouldn't be any. In a Christian church, how can anyone? The Bible is so explicitly clear in forbidding homosexuality. You know, what a joke. Well, all the religions are, for that matter. But their marriage was officiated by a friend. Get this. Army Chaplain Colonel J. Wesley Smith of Dover Air Force Base, an actual Army chaplain, conducted this monstrosity. Okay, so and we've got a picture of this couple on the cesspool website. Check it out if you can stomach it. They look every bit as butch as you would expect the stereotype to be. One of them, though, you know, how do they? I don't know if I want to know, but how do they determine who plays what role? Because one of them is wearing a black tuxedo, the other one is wearing a white dress. So, which one? How do they figure out which one was going to be the husband? But anyway, Keith, I laugh to keep from crying over stories like this. It's just disgusting. It's sick. It's wrong. It shouldn't be tolerated. You know, you should have a righteous indignation. There are some things you should not be tolerant about. It doesn't mean that you hate these people. You know, the left has cornered the market. If you objectively criticize, if you disagree with people like homosexuals or minorities, they say that the only motivation you must have is hate. You hate them. you know, which is ridiculous. I don't hate anybody, and I don't hate these people, but I disagree with it. I think it's wrong. I don't think they should be allowed to pretend to be married. I'm going to turn it over to you now, Keith, but, you know, you should have a righteous indignation, and there are some things that you should be intolerant of, and this is one of them.
Okay, let's break it down in two different ways. First of all, from the perspective of the U.S. military. The U.S. military is probably traditionally the most conservative institution in America, but the cultural Marxist long march through the institution has now totally co-opted the U.S. military at its pinnacle at the elite training academies for its officer corps. Now, Gary Roughhead, who is the head of the U.S. Naval Academy and the similar head of the U.S. Army Academy at West Point, U.S. Military Academy at West Point, are both totally sold out completely to political correctness. They have instituted affirmative action programs that allow minority candidates and homosexuals to come in under much lower standards academically than a white male would be allowed entrance for. They have remedial prep schools to try to bring these people up to snuff before they come in. And they've, you know, now we're having gay marriage at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. This shows you how completely the left has triumphed over traditional America over the past 60 years. This is our clarion call to our audience. This should tell you beyond any quibble that basically the left is in control of America. It's like Pat Buchanan said, the dominant culture, the establishment of the 50s and 60s, is now the distant culture of America, and the counterculture of the American 50s and 60s is now the dominant culture. They're in charge. They're driving the bus, folks. Now, just like Willie Nelson said, mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. I would exhort mamas and daddies, too. Don't let your kids grow up to be members of the U.S. military. If they're normal, natural people, heterosexual males, they will be the objects of discrimination. They will be the people passed over for promotion, because in today's Army, Navy, and even the Marine Corps, you're finding that perversion is at is, you know, valued and is treated with you know, at a premium. They want perverts in charge. They accommodate perversion in the U.S. military. Imagine what would happen if somebody was outed as a homosexual back in Robert E. Lee's day. I mean, they'd be lucky if they were simply dismissed from West Point. But that's one thing, the military, first of all. Secondly, let's look at it from homosexual so-called rights perspective. Homosexuality is now going to be considered the gay marriage issue by the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll get back to that right after this. These words from our sponsor.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. it is time for you to read the most daring underground publication, Spreading the Word Through Print. It seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight.
Going back in the way back machine right there, ladies and gentlemen, back to the 1949 version, or at least a 1949 version release of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. In fact, during that commercial break, Keith and I were talking about some Christmas songs we like, and Keith mentioned one that had been written and performed by a Jewish artist. And, you know, look, I mean, Simon and Garfunkel, great. I mean, look, they got great songs. Neil Sedaka, you know, I mentioned him from time to time on the show. Keith came up with a line that cracked me up during the break, you know, talking about some of these Jewish artists that we like and respect and listen to. And listen, Motown, you know, that music, a lot of it was very good. We give credit where credit is due. Keith said we're like a furniture store. We give credit where credit is due. And we can be mature enough and objective enough to do that. And that doesn't mean that it absolves anyone of responsibility and accountability. We can still objectively criticize and should a Jewish power and influence without being so obtuse as to say that all Jews are bad or part of the problems. And it's very likely that Simon and Garfunkel don't agree with us politically, nor do we agree with them. But we can still appreciate the music. We can still be big enough to do that. We have brains. We have filters on those brains that work. And so we'll enjoy what they can give us for what it is and still be standing on the watchtower. But again, getting back to the story, there's just so much wrong with it, what happened at West Point. First of all, you know, women in the military at all in these types of roles, combat roles. And you had that lesbian general that had been promoted that we did a story about a couple of months ago. It's just absolutely sickening. But this is the newest egalitarian movement. Homosexual rights. It's the newest civil rights crusade, Keith. And when we ran into the last commercial break, you were going to pick up right there.
Well, they're not just egalitarian movements, they're radical egalitarian movements. And I don't think even Herbert Marcuse would have predicted in 1954, when the left scored its greatest triumph, its seminal triumph, the Brown versus Board of Education decision, that things would have progressed this far, this fast. That we're now, I guess the next frontier will be bestiality or something. And not only do we have women in the military, we now and they're bringing suits so they can be frontline soldiers. They also now bring homosexuals in. Can you imagine how offensive it would be to a devout Muslim to have homosexual American soldiers tromping through the Grand Mosque at Mecca and over the their Holy Land and whatnot? And quite frankly, it ought to be just as offensive to Christian Americans and Europeans, because I don't know of a major religion in the world that doesn't consider homosexuality not just a sin, but an abomination. But we have, you know, the long march through the institutions has gone through every institution, not only the military, the most conservative, but also the church. That was one of the first to fall. We have all of these radical preacher types that were in the civil rights movement, and they're also right now, you know, we have gay bishops in the Episcopal Church. We have gayness is, you know, opposition is melting. I mentioned right before the break that the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to take up a case. You know, they don't take cases unless they choose to get them. They have what's called a writ of certiorari, which means that the Supreme Court has the discretion to either entertain the case and make an opinion on it, or to pass on it and let the Circuit Court of Appeals decision be the controlling precedent. And they have decided to take up the gay marriage issue, and I think that is ominous, because I don't think that the left would allow that to happen unless it were preordained that they're going to find some bogus violation of constitutional right in preventing gays from marrying. That's on the plate. That's in the on-deck circle, folks. And John Roberts apparently has been converted, bribed, or whatever, into joining the leftist cabal on this. In fact, he made another comment recently that is almost as startling. He said that the only way that we're going to get away from racial discrimination, and he sees it in our future, he says this is what's going to happen, is that white people are going to be blended out of existence. This is like Elliot Cohen and Norman Podhoretz, the Jewish so-called neoconservatives. They've expressed a similar wish, that white people just be miscegenated out of existence, so that we have a khaki or a tan-colored population in America. The problem with that is that white people's genes are all recessive. So when you mate a white person with a non-white person, the product of that union always looks more like the non-white than the white. And white people, I think, have a right to live and exist. You know, these are the people that tell us to celebrate diversity. They're doing their best to stamp it out.
Well, that's an absolutely excellent point, Keith. I mean, you know, they want diversity, they want multiculturalism, but they don't want our culture to be part of the souffle there. You know, and we talk about, you know, there are certain underlying themes that are revisited nearly on every show. And, of course, we work in breaking news stories and current manifestations of the underlying themes, as this issue with the that ceremony at West Point. But as Kevin McDonald correctly points out, you know, we talk about these issues. Kevin McDonald, a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, he said, whatever blame for our situation that we can place on others, the bottom line is that we are allowing the unfolding disaster to happen. We talking about particularly white men who have become so wimpish, so apologetic. You want to see a limp-wristed white man take almost any white guy in leadership in the Republican Party, and you'll see that's the guys I'm talking about. It's unprecedented for a civilization to voluntarily cede political and cultural hegemony to others, particularly when so many of these people harbor hatreds and resentments towards our people and our culture. So the million-dollar question is, Keith, What is the matter with white people? And I go back to that line that Kevin wrote. It's unprecedented for a civilization to voluntarily cede political and cultural hegemony to others, particularly those who hate us. That is exactly what we're doing. And Keith, with that being said and that question being posed to you, I would ask you to recall, if you can, that article, A Meta Strategy for White Advocacy, which I think pinpointed the problem that whites have and why they've been so susceptible to this dispossession.
You've got to understand that liberalism today is actually cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism differs from classical Marxism in that classical Marxism thought that the great fault line in human society was economic status. You're either a capitalist, a member of the proletariat, the working class, the outsider group, or you were a member of the bourgeoisie. That was kind of the capitalist class wannabes. In other words, your position in the economic order determined your true interests. Cultural Marxism decided that that was a bogus analysis, that the real analysis, the real fault line that exists in human society is race. More so than gender, more so than religion, more so than political ideology, more so than economic status or anything else. And where classical Marxism is now history, basically, except in a few remote outposts like Cuba, cultural Marxism is alive, well, thriving, and taking over.
That being said, we're going to take a break. More with Keith and James right after this.
The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month. Naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Now mama couldn't see him, oh, but he was standing there. And I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, I believe there are angels among us.
All right, send down from Alabama, from somewhere up, a song of the season there. It's hard for me to transition from such uplifting music to the standard fare and content of the political cesspool, talking about white pathology, how whites are afflicted with something that no other racial group has been exposed to. They don't have that suicidal gene, apparently, that we have. They don't have that deficiency that whites apparently have now in mass. And it's something that I think has been triggered, certainly, over the last 100 years that didn't exist before. They found a way to exploit this deficiency that we have, or that most white people have. I wouldn't say necessarily present company, or I think present company excluded. But the million-dollar question is, how did this happen? We continue to devolve as a society. We continue to be more dispossessed here in the country. Our forebears carved from a wilderness. And basically, we're not even honest enough to identify the problem. I mean, we are, but our brothers and sisters aren't. Talking about white pathology, I linked in that article an earlier article, Meta Strategy for Advocacy, and it really is, and I said this a moment ago, the best explanation that I've read with regards to what's ailing us. And Keith, I know we talked about this a couple of months ago on the show. It was earlier in the year. Had a really good segment, really a profound article. What was the gist of it?
Well, the gist is basically white people are unique and different. And we have an aspect to our personalities that other races don't seem to have. And we've been touching on that throughout the show. For example, the fact that every other racial group sees reality primarily through the prism of race, where white people try to be objective and go beyond race. And really, we need to recognize that that's kind of an odd and perverted sort of white supremacy, that we're better than they are, and that we don't have to resort to racial chauvinism to survive and to thrive, that other people we hope are going to follow our good example and become objectivists just like we are. They're not. We've got enough experience now. The verdict is in. The jury is in. Other racial groups do not abandon their racial self-interest, and they see the world through the prism of race. When you tell a black person that, for example, they should be reconciled to losing a particular contest, not getting jobs, not getting admission slots in schools and professional schools or highly selective schools, for example, but it was a fair fight and that they should be reconciled to the results of it, well, you know, that's going to, you know, that they first of all think that you're shining them on, that you're fooling them, that you're trying to bamboozle them. And if they ever realize that you're absolutely serious about that, then they view you with utter contempt. See, cultural Marxism, let's get back to that. It's been described before as a fusion or a blending of Freud and Marx. Well, we tend to overlook the Freudian part of it. Wilhelm Reich, Erich Fromm, people like that, used psychological conditioning as an alternative to bullets and guns for transforming people, and it has worked against white people. White people alone are susceptible to having their altruistic instincts. First of all, they have altruistic instincts. Two, they've now been manipulated by the left so that we turn those instincts into an engine for our own destruction. We are self-destructive. We're introspective, and we find fault with ourselves where other races never find fault with themselves. Have you ever heard a black person blame himself for his predicament? Just like Zach Randolph rationalizes his lengthy criminal record based on racist white cops, not his own deficiencies in judgment or in behavior. Likewise, Asians, Jews, everyone else, they basically see themselves as victims, and white people are the universal bugaboo, the thing that causes them. That's why we've got Eddie here in the studio, and I know that Eddie is probably not happy with me because I didn't contribute to his running thing, but let me explain this to you, Eddie. Here's my situation. I have taken a principled position now to swear off contributions to all charities because, as far as I can tell, virtually every charity that there is out there basically favors non-whites over whites and basically is an engine to transfer wealth from the white community to the non-white community. That's what I see, for example, with Zach Randolph's handing out Christmas turkeys and Thanksgiving turkeys and stuff. Exclusively, the objects of his bounty are his fellow black people. White people are the only ones that really, one, try to get away totally from doing anything for other white people. They don't think that charity is legitimate charity unless they're giving away stuff from white people and transferring it to black people. This is suicidal. It's part of the psychological conditioning that has been thrust upon us by the cultural Marxists. We've accepted it, and Kevin McDonald and others say, why are we alone susceptible to cultural suicide?
Well, Keith, you made a good political point with regards to your charitable giving, but we do know, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller is here now. He has come in wearing his medal from his 26-mile marathon, and we've talked about that a couple of times. Eddie's going to be on during the third and final hour to give us the inside scoop as to exactly what happened last week when this 66-year-old co-host of our show ran a 26-mile marathon on behalf of the kids of St. Jude. Now, Keith made a good political point there with regards to why he didn't give to Eddie, but the fact of the matter is that there is not a tighter tightwad than Mr. Keith Alexander. That is why he didn't give. He and Ebenezer Scrooge are roommates. In fact, Keith teaches our Jewish friends how to manage their money. I mean, they learned it from him. The stereotype about them, never letting a dollar get away. But I think that was the truth of it all. Because Keith made mention to me, oh, I got to give to Eddie. And then the time came and went. But, you know, St. Jude, if you're going to give, I mean, St. Jude's a good one. And I did give to Eddie, and we encouraged our audience to. And we're going to be talking about that. The audience did respond earlier this year and supported Eddie's ambition there. I'm really looking forward because I hadn't had a chance to talk to Eddie about his big 26 miles. My God, ran it. I haven't asked him questions about it because I wanted to find out with the rest of our friends and family, our extended family, and the listening audience tonight. So during the third hour at the very tail end of the show, we're going to be talking to Eddie about his run, how he made it. He crossed the finish line. I can see that because he came in here apparently wearing his uniform. He's got his running shirt on, a pair of shorts on this December night, a pair of shorts, his running shoes, a medal. That says, you know, a big St. Jude medal. That's nice. It said St. Jude Memphis Marathon 2012 finisher. Anyway, all that's coming up at the end of the show tonight. We're going to get the behind-the-scenes scoop as to what that marathon was all about Freddie. And it should be brought up, and it should be talked about on this show, because the audience were the people who supported Eddie's run and got him in there. Anyway, speaking of contributions, don't forget that the Political Cesspool is currently running its fourth quarter fundraising drive, and we need your help. We have gotten off to a very modest start, to put it politely, and your support during these fundraising drives is absolutely essential to guarantee that we will remain on the air. And you're not just giving to us. When you support us during these fundraising drives four times a year, a percentage of that kicks back to Liberty News Radio. We want you to remember us during this Christmas season. Put us on your list. We would love to have a gift from you. And we will continue to give gifts back to you each and every Saturday night. We are the gift that keeps on giving here on the radio. But you can support us by donating tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back right after this. We'll return. We'll return.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I'm doing my Christmas dreaming a little early,
this year. No sign of snow around.
One thing about Frank Sinatra is that he didn't ever get in a rush with this singing. All right, welcome back to the show. Eddie came in here and livened up at least the studio. I know you can't see it through the radio airwaves. This is, after all, radio, not television. But Eddie and Keith have been having this ongoing conversation during the radio, during the breaks. It don't matter. It's like two lions over here. But Keith, back to the whole thing. And again, we can be critical of our own people just as much. And in fact, in my as far as I'm concerned, more so, more criticism is should be laid at the feet of European Americans than at any of the minority groups. I mean, frankly, they are just doing what's natural and healthy. It's we're the ones who've got the problem, and it's men specifically. I mean, men are the ones who are supposed to be leaders. You don't see masculine men anymore. I mean, certainly not in television. I mean, yeah, you'll have an action hero, you know, in some movies, but by and large, in commercials and television movies, you know, the men are emasculated and they're feminine and they're wimpish and they're being bullied by women and everyone else for that matter. We put up a pretty interesting ad from Toyota. It was a Toyota ad that appeared in Europe, and the article reads that the author wasn't quite sure how the ad got past the censors, but it showed men in a positive manner, which is, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The feminists quickly sniffed out this thought crime and started to shriek and demanded immediate censorship of the Toyota commercial. Toyota, of course, acquiesced and pulled the ad, but luckily you can still find it on YouTube, and as we did, and we put it up at thepoliticalcesspool.org, but basically in the ad, middle-aged European white men decided to purchase a sports car without getting mommy's approval, and mommy is their wives in this scenario. The act of defiance causes the women to react in rage, but what's surprising is that the men don't seem to care, showing the white men really can resist authority. It's just something that the censors couldn't let slide. But it actually is a pretty good commercial because it keeps going back and forth between a young man, the old man, and it's a clever bit of filmmaking. The young man or the young kid is a metaphor of the lost youth and freedom of older men. Everything that we ever talk about on this show, Keith, is a result of the lack of action of white men. Every problem that plagues this country, it's either because white men had a hand in it, in working for the dark side, if you will, or they stood by and did nothing. I mean, we are exceptions to that rule. Our audience are exceptions to that rule. But by and large, men are feminine. They don't take action. When they do take action, it's almost inevitably something that is self-destructive.
Well, I'm going to have to take a different viewpoint on this because I'm going to stand up for white men in a manly way. The problem with white men and with white women is that we, because we have a sense of altruism, because we can be objective, because we can be principled, we have been manipulated by the cultural Marxist psychological conditioning project. This was not something that just seemed to happen or grew like Topsy, as they used to say in Uncle Tom's Cabin. This was planned. Our destruction has been planned. They studied their subject, white people, well, and they found out where their Achilles heel was. And the Achilles heel is in this altruistic sense. And what is more altruistic than charity? Now, it may be different from some of you that live in places like Canada or in the Great White North, as they call it, in America, like Montana or Minnesota or Maine or something like that. But in a place like Memphis, Tennessee, you see nothing but charities that are constantly involved in outreach to the black community, trying to buck up black academic achievement, for example. I work in a building where the primary tenant is just totally sold out lock, stock, and barrel to multiculturalism and promoting blacks to a position of authority. So all the time, day and night, you see black children being trundled in with elderly white people with beatific smiles on their face, mentoring them and tutoring them in their studies. Why? These people never ask why. They are being tutored and mentored so that they can displace the very children and grandchildren of the tutors in the economic order. They're going to thrust us to the bottom. I see this in Memphis all the time. Every charity, even charities that profess to be colorblind, when you break it down, you'll find that most of the beneficiaries are non-whites. So consequently, the only charities that I support now, James, are charities like the Council of Conservative Citizens, like the Political Cesspool, like Western Voices World News, that are working to correct this imbalance in our society and promote the interests of white people.
Well, we're not technically charities. We certainly don't have that 501c3 status, but we are organizations, and organizations are equally worthy of support. But, you know, something that we mentioned on the show from time to time is that certainly there is nothing wrong with being kind. There's nothing wrong with being philanthropic. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with white people helping non-whites. However, when you exclusively help that is a form of racism, to specifically help people that are not white. But there's nothing wrong with it on its face. But as the Greeks said in an eternally wise statement, all things in moderation, nothing in excess, even a virtue, when carried to an extreme, can be destructive. And that is what has happened with our misplaced altruism. We have let it be carried to an extreme, and now it is harming us. But again, there's nothing wrong with whites. Obviously, I mean, this goes without saying. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's very good, whites going out and being helpful to other people. But, you know, how about a little bit of that charity being reserved for your cousins and brothers and sisters, white people?
More than that, some of the folk wisdom that used to be passed down by our forefathers comes to mind. Charity begins at home. Charity begins at home, and home for us is our racial in-group. Have you ever seen a black person, black celebrity, black sports hero of any type that reached out to help white people? Like Winston Smith frequently said on our show back before he was afflicted with his hearing loss problem, at any moment of any day or night in the world, there is a group of white people meeting, wringing their hands, gnashing their teeth, rending their garments, thinking about what they can do to help non-white people. At the very same time, you can state with equal assurance that at that very moment, there is no group of non-whites expressing any type of concern about what they can do to help the plight of white people in the world. It's all a one-way street. We've got to insist on equality. We're not white supremacists, folks. We are white egalitarians. We say that white people need to use all the techniques, all the strategies that other races use to promote the interests of their race, and that race, if it is something that blacks, Asians, Hispanics, Jews can think about, then white Gentiles can likewise think about it as well. We need to do it. That is all there is to it. If we don't, we're going to be toast. And when we become the minority, we're going to find that minority rights is a total thing of the past. We're going to be under the boot of people that despise us. We're the only people that reach out and really love other groups. Other groups basically don't love us. In fact, they either secretly or not so secretly despise us. If you don't think so, look at some of our blog entries about the black Muslims and the black Muslim leadership and what they say about the Hispanic leadership at La Raza. You know, in this last election, 72% of Hispanics voted for Obama, not because Obama was a Hispanic person, because he wasn't. They saw it as a way to stick a finger in the eye of white people. Now, Asian people, of course, they're smarter. They're up there 104 aggregate or median IQ. They voted for Obama 73%. They hate us even a little bit more than the Hispanics. Blacks voted for him 95%. The more non-white people you let into this country, the more you are building the anti-white coalition. You need to understand it, folks, and act on it.
Third and final hour coming right up, and we're going to hear about Eddie Miller's 26-mile run. I can't wait. I'm very excited to hear this story. Stay tuned.
Political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.